the Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com. All right, in this episode, we had the pleasure of talking to Mike Nichols. Mike, unfortunately, suffered a spinal cord injury while playing in a high school hockey game, but he's not defined by that. Since his injury and his subsequent recovery, he's gone on to work with the Chris and Dana Reeve Foundation, the Neuro Recovery Network, and spreading the message of working with spinal cord injury patients across the world.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pinecast.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Our next guest was a former high school hockey player who suffered a spinal cord injury on the ice 3.5 years ago. Now, he's defying the odds and doing things he was told he never would. Also an ambassador for the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, Mike Nichols on the program. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you taking some time out, man. Fellow hockey player, I was, you know, pretty terrible. I think I was on the team because there was like a quota. We needed to have X amount of guys with jerseys on, so that's why they allowed me to actually be on the team.
Oh, so you never really got off the bench?
I was like the, what they call it, a grocery stick. I was the guy who broke up the lines, you know what I mean? I just kind of sat there and looked pretty.
did you carry all the sticks onto the bench?
Yeah, I had to. Otherwise, they really wouldn't let me out of the locker room, you know what I mean? I was speaking with some people at the APTA's next conference, a gathering of physical therapists we had in Boston a couple weeks ago, and met some people from the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. And, you know, I just like stopping at booths like that and just say, hey, you know, I feel like the thing was everybody knows the name Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, and everybody's pretty familiar with Christopher Reeve's story. And then I wanted to make sure that people knew what the foundation was actually able to do and what it was still doing today in their name. And they brought you up right away. They said, yeah, we got to get somebody on the show that can talk firsthand about it. And they brought you up first. And I wanted to bring you on here so everybody could hear your story.
For me, it was just another day, another hockey game. About an hour, 15 minutes away from my home. This was an away game. I remember it was winter break, middle of my senior year. I just started growing chest hair, so I felt like a big shot. Yeah, it's just a regular game. We were on the penalty kill. And I chipped the puck past the defenseman, and I actually got a couple steps on him. But I slowed up to grab possession of the puck at around the top of the circle, and he checked me from behind. And that it really wasn't a malicious hit, but what was worse was that he fell on top of me, so I couldn't pop back up, and I slid headfirst into the boards. I knew immediately like what happened. Oddly enough, I thought about Eric LeGrand and Jack Jablonski. Jack's another high school hockey player who was paralyzed in Minnesota. Same age as me. He was paralyzed when he was a sophomore, I believe, 2 years before me. Right when it happened, I knew. My best friend skated over me. He happened to be on the ice. He's like, yo, you good? I'm like, I'm fine. I just can't move. He's like, what? I'm like, I can't move. And I've taken hundreds of big hits before, and this was like any other one, but something just happened a little bit differently, and the coach came onto the ice. I mouthed the words to my dad, who was watching over me from the glass, that I couldn't move, and he came onto the ice, and he put his jacket on me because I was freezing, and I was just like, Dad, I was the best player on the ice today, and he's like, yeah, you were. We were winning 7-2. I had one goal, two assists. I was really playing a good game, but that wasn't in my deck of cards. So they took me off the ice and brought me to the back room on a stretcher because I had to be airlifted. So we were waiting for the helicopter to land. When I'm in the back room, they're trying to like cut off my gear, like I'm trying to rip the oxygen mask off. I'm like, no, I paid for that. Like, don't ruin my equipment. You know, I got into the helicopter and I couldn't make this up. I was flirting with the EMT in the helicopter.
Well played. You get to keep your man card there.
Oh, yeah. She was probably like, who is this kid going in and out of consciousness just shooting this shot right now?
So what's going through your head from the moment you took the hit until they're taking you off the ice? I've been taken off the ice before, and it's kind of scary. But you're describing something I've never felt, and I think a lot of people out there listening might work with patients like that. But I want to put them in your shoes for a quick second. What's going through your head in that first 10 or 15 minutes?
You know, I really wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. I think I knew that the people around me were a lot more nervous and whatnot than I was. I was kind of the calming factor. Like I said, I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. I didn't know how long a road I had coming. You know, as I'm getting taken off the ice, I told my coach, I'm like, coach, don't let them end this game early. I knew what the possibilities were with ice hockey. You know, it's very unfortunate, but I mean, yeah, I was thinking this sucks, but I wasn't scared or anything really. I just wanted to keep on playing. That's all. That's the only thing I was thinking about. That's the only thing that mattered to me. I just want to keep playing.
Yeah. You know, what happens next? So, of course, you flirt with the EMT in the helicopter. And then and then what?
I got to the emergency room. And the last thing I remember was my mom came in. She was crying. And I'm like, Mom, I'll be good. I'll be back next game. And everything just went black. The next 5.5 weeks are very, very spotty. I only remember three things. Eric LeGrand came to come visit me.
Oh, wow.
Probably 3 or 4 days after I got hurt. He's talking to my family. And he knows everything that comes with spinal cord injury just because he's another member of our fraternity. So he saw I was freezing because your temperature isn't able to regulate itself with spinal cord injury. And at the beginning, it's when it's the worst. I was running 107 fevers, but I was still shivering.
Mm-hmm. And just to make sure people know, Eric LeGrand was a football player, defensive tackle, who played for Rutgers in your home state of New Jersey, who suffered a spinal cord injury on the field.
Right. He came, and I'll never forget. He just saw us freezing. He's like, bro, I'm going to take you to Miami. You're not going to be cold there. He's been a huge inspiration in my life since then, and we're still good friends to this day.
So once the first couple of weeks and you start to be able to, you know, remember more, what's going through your head? I want the audience to know, when they're working with patients that are similar to you, you know, what you were feeling and thinking and what you were looking for.
For me, laughter is the key to life.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy V said if you could laugh, smile, and cry all in one day, you had a good day.
Yeah.
I believe it. I've always been the person, you know, the kind of class clown, cracking jokes. That's just me. As soon as I was able to talk again, I was just cracking jokes because, you know, when people are laughing, it's infectious. It's,
sure.
People are smiling. It puts everyone in a better mood. Yeah. So, you know, it was just natural to me.
What was your injury? What was the official diagnosis?
C5.
So when you woke up and you started to assess the situation, you know, what did you look like in terms of, walk us through it? What were you able to do in those first couple weeks versus what are you able to do now? You know, where did you start off? What was your mobility like?
On top of the neck fracture, I also had a stroke on my right side. I couldn't move my right arm at all, and I could move my shoulders a very little bit, and I had a little bit of left bicep. I was also on the ventilator at the time.
Right.
There was a lot of stuff that I really couldn't do, and now today, from the stroke, doctors told me I'd never move my right arm again, and that's not true. Today, I move it very well. My bicep on that arm is very strong. I'm off the ventilator. I don't have a trach anymore. I eat regular foods, no more feeding tube. I also gained back some mobility in my left wrist, which is big for the tenodesis. And also, my core has substantially became stronger. That's big.
It's big, yeah.
Yeah, because you need, you know, balance. And a lot of times in the van, if we stop short, I used to fall over. And I need someone to pick me up. But now I can catch myself. And even if I do fall over, I can pick myself up. It makes me that much more independent.
That's a good thing to focus on, because I think a lot of times we like to focus on the arms and legs and, you know, the big, big muscle groups. But, you know, just something that simple as, you know, strengthening your core. And I'm sure your PT focused on that, which is why you were able to do that. That gives you independence and just one more thing in your day that you didn't, you know, have to worry about, you know, being picked up and not have to worry about it. So it's a good reminder to hear you say that, I think, to our audiences. Don't just focus on just a couple different things that you think you're going to get the gains. Make sure you focus on the whole person, because that little bit helps you every day.
Yeah, that's huge, because I totally understand, you know, working on the big muscle groups sure. and whatnot. So I truly believe that your core is the most important part of your body. Wheelchair, non-wheelchair. I think it helped me a little bit, you know, being an athlete.
Sure.
So I kind of understood, you know, what to focus on, because I also work on my own time as well. It takes a lot of commitment, but definitely the core is it's a total game changer.
Yeah. What's your what was your routine like when you were still in the hospital, and what's your routine like in terms of PT now?
Well, I got transferred to Kessler for physical therapy, and I would do occupational therapy 1 hour, 5 days a week, and then physical therapy for 2 hours, five wow. days a week.
Yeah, so you were putting in work.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm an athlete, so I didn't think anything otherwise. It's what I'm used to, something I never wanted from my physical therapist, and they know that about me today still. Like, they don't ask if I'm okay. Like, I don't want to mm-hmm. be baby.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm used to being a little bit of uncomfortable. I'm a firm believer in pain is weakness leaving your body. So I'll take the pain.
I like a couple of things you said there. Number one, you're used to being uncomfortable. You know, PTs, as physical therapists, we need to remember that. Like you said, the other thing I liked, you are an athlete. You know, I think a lot of times we will say, well, you know, his condition right now, I don't want to make it too hard. But you're saying exactly what we need to hear, which is we need to make you uncomfortable because we want to make gains. You want that functionality back. You want that mobility back. So that's a couple good reminders. Number one, you are still an athlete. And number two, we have to make you uncomfortable.
Right. You have to become comfortable in uncomfortable situations. That's just life in general.
And was your athletic background, was that the thing that really helped your mindset?
The way I was raised, I was told winners never quit and quitters never win. My parents let me try any sport I ever wanted. The thing was, if you start it, you got to finish it.
Good.
There's no quitting, no giving up.
When you were first in the hospital, you were told you'd get back what?
You know, they told me that I was never going to move my right arm again. They told me to strengthen, you know, what I have now, because my feeling and function will never really go below my nipples, is what they told me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be grateful that I have the one bicep and make it as strong as I can. And I understand doctors saying that, because they want to cover their butts also, because not everyone is a person that's gonna go into physical therapy and work as hard as they possibly can. Some right. people just shut down from this.
So that's what you were told, and then 3.5 years later, describe your mobility now.
Yeah, I move my right arm very frequently. Use my right arm to raise my hand in class when I'm not calling out, I should say. All the time, but I think the wheelchair lets me get away with it a little bit.
A little bit. And how's your mobility with the wheelchair?
It's great. There's a funny story, actually.
Okay.
You know the head drive, like with the mouth?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The mm-hmm. mouth. Yep.
So they were my occupational therapist, you know, inpatient wanted to get me to try that. And I'm like, no, I want the joystick. she's like, well, you know, I don't think you'll be able to get your hand on, like, off it fast enough to stop. You know, she was worried and whatnot. I was like, no, let me try it. So they put, like, a little, like, fake one there. She's like, all right, put it on. She's like, all right, take it off. And, like, she did it a couple more times. Like, all right, on, off, on, off. And then, like, the last time I looked at her, I was like, was that fast enough for you? And she's like, yeah, it was. I'm like, yeah, I'm still an athlete. I'm like, don't tell me what I
good
do.
That's a killer mindset, man. I'm very, very, I'm very pleased to hear that you have that mindset.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. DJ, Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is powered by Smart Tools, the next generation of instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization. The fastest-growing approach to IASTM is Smart Tools, from high-quality American-made tools. Smart Tools. Find them online at smarttoolsplus.com.
Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency, offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now.
Your work with the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, you're an ambassador for that organization, you know, and that's a great group of people. Their website, ChristopherReeve.org. Describe a little bit about what being an ambassador for those guys involves. What do you get to do?
I do two big fundraisers a year. Yesterday, I had my annual golf outing.
Oh, yeah.
Golf raises money for my family trust and also for the Reeve Foundation. Raising money, you know, whether it be for quality of life grants. They also have a epidural stimulator. It's called the Big Idea, which is next level in terms of, I wouldn't call it a cure, I'd call a brighter light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay.
That we're raising money for.
Yeah. What's that going to do?
The Big Idea, the epidural stimulator, it's a little epidural stimulator that they implant into your spinal cord. You hit a button, you turn yourself on. I could already see that being my pickup line. Girls in the future. How many guys, you know, can turn themselves on?
Once you're turned on, so, then where do we go?
Well, the four patients that have done it so far have all been successful. They've regained mobility and feeling back in all four of their extremities.
Wow.
They're able to stand with a walker. Mm-hmm. You know, for a certain amount of time, and this all comes with hard work, of course, but you put in the work. Once you get the stimulator, the results are 100% there.
Great.
But that's not even the big thing. The big thing is it gives you back the autonomic functions that your body lost when you got injured.
Right, like that temperature regulation, like you said.
Exactly, bowel control, bladder control, sexual function. Those are big things, and I say to a bunch of people, Not that I'm content with being in a wheelchair, but I could take being in a wheelchair the rest of my life. If I'm not cold for the rest of my life and I don't have a leg bag, you know,
right?
Those things make your life 10,000 times better. With a wheelchair, people see, like, okay, he can't get upstairs. He's going to need a little bit of a bigger doorway.
Right.
Got to pick him up, put him down. But nobody thinks, you know, what happens if his catheter gets kinked?
Right.
I can't blame them for not thinking that, because it's not a common thing, but it's common in my life. And,
sure,
you know, the 1.2 million people living with spinal cord injury is common in their lives.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. A good frame of reference is, you know, make sure you're kind of putting yourself in the mindset of the patient, you know, not just when they're in front of you, but the things they have to deal with on a day-to-day, a minute-to-minute basis when they're not in front of you. And then that's some of it. So that Big Idea, was that made possible through the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation?
Yes, it was. Currently, we're raising money. We're trying to raise $15 million in total, so the next 36 patients can undergo the clinical trials.
Good.
I believe the hope from there is, if those 36 clinical trials are successful, that's 40 out of 40. You know, we go to insurance, like, listen, We got something here.
Sure, absolutely.
You know?
That's fantastic news. Good luck to you guys. I'm excited to watch along as that information rolls in. I can't wait for it.
Thank you very much. Cool. We have a lot of support. Like Boomer and Carton does a charity hockey game with me.
Right.
Once a year. So that raises, you know, last year we raised $80,000.
Wow.
For an injury.
Wow, with one game?
One game.
Well done.
It's an amazing event, and all the funds go to spinal cord injury. And the thing that I always want to get across any of my fundraisers is it's not just me. It's so much bigger than just me.
Yeah.
You know, my purpose in life wasn't to be a hockey player. I understand that. The amount of people I've impacted being in a wheelchair far surpassed the amount of people I've, you know, impacted as a hockey player.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that statistic, you know, 1.2 million people.
And then it's something like 5.2 million people are living with some sort of paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so many. Well, hey, thank you for the work that you're doing, you know, in that small part. And I love your mindset, man. You know, your purpose is bigger than what you did, you know, with a stick in your hand now. And it's great that you have that kind of mindset and that kind of drive to keep pushing. I mean, you're an athlete, but you're also a promoter and you're a fundraiser and you're helping research. That's a pretty big role.
My thing is you help the people that helped you.
Yeah.
And the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation were there for me from day one.
I like it. You're talking about helping those who help you. Arius Medical Staffing, those guys nice enough to sponsor the show. They bring this to you. They allow me to bring it to everybody out there listening for free. And Mike, what these guys do, they get physical therapists jobs. That's all they do. They just find jobs for PTs all across the U.S., anywhere you want to go. I know you're in Jersey, but if you had a dream place to go hang out, where's somewhere in the U.S. you haven't visited yet, but you want to?
California. Yeah. I need the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I'm a sun guy. I know for a fact that they just let me know they have a bunch of jobs in California for any PTs, OTs, nurses, whatever. Some people were asking me, what does it cost? You know, how much would it pay for have them find me a job? $0. Zero. You call them, they work for you, they find you the job, then you get paid and you go do the thing, which is help people across the U.S. In a variety of settings. Anything you want, acute, inpatient, outpatient. I'm sure you've got a setting there that you prefer. They'll get you hooked up. It's AURUSmedical.com. That's Arius Medical Staffing, AURUSmedical.com. So talk to me more about the Neuro Recovery Network and where that lines up with the foundation.
All right. Well, once I left inpatient at Kessler, I then transitioned to outpatient. And first, I started doing regular, you know, outpatient therapy. And then once I was able to stand up vertically for an hour straight, I then qualified for the Neuro Recovery Network, which is you're on a treadmill 5 days a week for an hour a day. You're walking. The aides and physical therapists are making your legs walk for you.
Right.
You're in a harness and you're walking for that hour. And tell you what, after that hour, you're tired. It winds up right with the foundation because the foundation is, you know, the one that gave the money to let Kessler get the Neuro Recovery Network. The Neuro Recovery Network has made, you know, impacts in so many people's lives. The amount of, you know, improvement I made from the Neuro Recovery Network is unreal. Like, a lot of my trunk support came from the Neuro Recovery Network because as I'm walking for that hour, you're not only walking, but you're focusing on keeping your chest straight.
Sure.
You take like a 30-second break, you know, in between, and when they're switching, and during that 30-second break, you have a workout to do when you're on break, and I love it.
That's great. And as you mentioned before in the first half of the show, you know, you're an athlete, so you're doing athletic things. I mean, hey, I bet you most Americans aren't walking for an hour straight. You're getting it done.
By any means necessary.
Yeah. How does competing and camaraderie, how does that come into play with your recovery? Tell me a little bit about that.
For me, being an athlete, I sort of compete with myself. You know, if I can balance for, say, 5 minutes, I want to balance for 5.5 minutes. So I compete with myself because you have to push yourself. Not to mention the physical therapists. They're cheering you on. Some of them are the biggest cheerleaders, you know, I've ever seen. They do their job so well. They know, you know, it's very important for a coach, a physical therapist, or a teacher to learn to learn about your patient, to learn about your student. Each person ticks a little bit differently.
Every episode that we record, we give a chance for our guests to have a parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
Rock Tape, more than just a tape company. Rock Tape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
If you were to address all the physical therapists out there listening, what's one thing they should keep in mind if they're working with a patient, maybe just after an injury similar to yours? What should those PTs keep in mind as they go to treat that patient?
They have to keep in mind that that's a human being, but it's not only the human being going on this roller coaster ride, it's also the family. And if the family is involved at the beginning, one way that you could maybe get to the patient is to go through the family. The patient may not want to hear it from a stranger your physical therapist is at the beginning, you know? But yeah, if you got your family, you know, hounding on them and telling them, they're gonna come around eventually. You're not doing them any justice by babying them. We do better today to do better tomorrow, and so on.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's going to be the hashtag I use for your episode. Do better today so you can do better tomorrow. I like that a lot, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike Nichols. Follow him on Twitter to get the updates there. That's M_NICHS. The official ambassador for the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. You can find out more about the foundation on their website, ChristopherReeve.org. And that's also thanks to the Neuro Recovery Network. And I definitely want, I'll be tweeting about the big idea as we see some information coming down the line for that. Fingers crossed for some more good news from the clinical trials, man.
Oh, yeah. It's only a matter of time. We're about 60% of our way to 15 million.
There we go. Every little bit helps. Appreciate you taking some time out, Mike, and we'll check in. We'll check in again. We'll make sure the audience knows how things are going with you. But you know, keep on doing what you're doing, because I think it's amazing, man. I think it's a great, inspiring message for patients, for families, for people who maybe have never experienced this, but just to be able to get inside that mindset. And of course, for PTs who are going to be working with patients similar to you every day, to make sure you don't take it easy on people.
Nope, never. You can't.
Yeah, I like that. Mike, appreciate your time, man. Keep on doing what you're doing, all right, bro?
Thank you for having me, my man.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast's CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Our home on the internet.
PTPinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
Hey, you want to be part of the show? We have sponsorship opportunities available right now. Spread your message to physical therapists more than 50,000 times a month right here on PT Pinecast. To partner with our show, email
Jimmy@ptpinecast.com.